Well, hello, radio friends, and again I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is Minor Hawk introducing you to another broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel radio program. And as most of you know, this program is a non-denominational broadcast of what is often referred to as old-fashioned gospel preaching. I believe it's unfortunate that preaching the gospel of God's grace should be referred to as old-fashioned. But my friend, the fact remains, it is. No, not too many pastors today preach the fact that man is born in sin and chastened in iniquity. They don't very often tell their congregations that they have to repent of their sins and to be born again by the Spirit and the Word of God. And friend, you know as well as I do that very few preachers and priests today speak about the judgment of God which awaits those who die without having accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, in any case, this program of straightforward gospel preaching may not be too popular. But friend, I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm here to tell it like it is. And thank God He's the only one I have to please. You know, over in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "Do I seek to please men? If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, this same Apostle Paul declares, "We are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who trieth our hearts." Let's open up the broadcast today with a lovely tune with a message, and it's entitled, "Jesus Paid It All."
I hear the Savior say, "Watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain,
I, for one, sure thank God today that Jesus paid it all. Yes, I read his words in John 19 and verse 30 at the end of those hours of suffering on the cross when he declared, "It is finished." He completed the work that God gave him to do. And today, my friend, those of us who are saved, we rest where God rests in the finished work of Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for the finished work of Christ. We thank thee for the value and the virtue of that shed blood at Calvary. And we thank thee, our God, that he's no longer on the cross, nor is he in the tomb, but he's seated at thy right hand. He's our great high priest. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. Lord, the only mediator we have, those of us who are saved today, is the man in the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, our God, for extending the day of grace so that others might come to know him, whom to know is life eternal. Bless thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Save souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now then, those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be reading as my text for today a portion of the Word of God from John's Gospel, chapter 7. John chapter 7, and I'll begin reading at verse 43. John 7 and verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him, meaning Jesus Christ. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. Now friends, in John chapter 7 and verse 46, we read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that never man spake like this man. And oh, how true it was. In all the history of mankind, from Adam on down to the present time, no one could speak with such authority and yet with such simplicity as did Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 38, we read that all the people rose up early in the morning just to hear him expound the scriptures. And friend, in many other passages, we read of how the crowds would gather when they heard that he was near. I think of that scene over in Matthew chapter 5. For he ascends the mountainside to speak to the people. My, what an audience he had. We read that there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Yes, friends, when Jesus Christ preached, he didn't have to send his disciples ahead to stir up the crowd and to prepare the way. And he didn't have to seek large audiences either, because when he spoke, his words were such that the people came to him, and truly, never man spake like this man. Now, friends, there's something else I want you to remember, and that is that in all the scriptures, we never read where Jesus Christ ever digressed from the solemnity of his mission. We never once read where he told a joke. We never read where he burst out laughing. And we never read where he discussed the pleasures, the amusements, the politics, and entertainments of the day. Oh, no, my friends. He came from heaven to save the souls of the lost, and he didn't have either the desire or the time to waste on non-essential secular thoughts and activities. He was looking forward to the cross, with all of its suffering, its humiliation, its ignominy, its shame, and its curse. And he knew that he had to shed his life's blood if souls were to be saved from hell. Yes, he came to this scene of sin and sorrow to speak the wonderful words of life. In fact, the Bible even refers to him as the Word. In John 1, beginning at verse 1, here's what we read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Again, in that same John chapter 1 and verse 14, we read, And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then back in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13, we read concerning Jesus Christ, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Yes, my friend, he was God manifest in the flesh. And being Jesus Christ, it could truly be said of him in Matthew chapter 7, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. Now, friends, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like to bring before you very briefly three utterances of Jesus Christ. The first of these we find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 10, where he declared to Zacchaeus that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, friend, in this statement by Jesus Christ, we have a world of meaning. First of all, he declares himself to be the Son of Man. Yes, he veiled his heavenly glory and exchanged his crown for an earthly robe. He condescended to leave the presence of God and to walk the scenes of a sin-cursed earth because it was the mind and will of his Father God. And oh, how thankful we should be today that the Son of God became the Son of Man so that we who were sinful sons of men might through faith in him become the sons of God. Listen, my friend. Had he not left heaven and died for sinners on Calvary's cross, the salvation of men's souls would be impossible. But thank God for his unspeakable gift. Yes, thank God that he did come from heaven, that he was born of the virgin called Mary, and that he was born under the law to redeem those who were under its dreadful curse. Now then, the second thing we notice about this statement by Jesus Christ in Luke 19 and 10 is the fact that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And friend, it's a good thing that he sought the sinner, because the history of man has been one characterized by his lack of seeking after God. And that's the reason we're told in Romans 3 and 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. I think of that scene in the Garden of Eden, when sin first raised its ugly head in disobedience to the Word of God. You recall how Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit, and how when they realized their sin, they sought to hide from God amongst the trees of the garden. But did God lead them to their sin? Ah, no, because where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds much more. And so we read that in the cool of the day, God sought out our sinning parents and provided them with a bloodshed covering for sin. Again, I think of that scene in John chapter 4, when Jesus Christ sought out the harlot at Jacob's well. Yes, on many occasions, Lord Jesus Christ sought out the poor lost sinner, and millions of souls are in heaven today. Yes, because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, sought and saved them from an eternity in hell. And friend, the Son of Man is still seeking and saving sinners today. Even now, all over the world, souls are being saved by the grace of God, and that through faith in the blood of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me." Yes, Jesus Christ is still seeking sinners. Now this leads us to the third fact concerning the statement in Luke 19 and 10, and that is that the Lord Jesus Christ only came to seek and to save that which was lost. In Luke 5 and verse 32 he said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now friend, I believe the hardest task for any faithful preacher of the gospel is to convince sinners through the Spirit and the Word of God that they are lost, guilty creatures and deserving of the flames of hell. They just refuse to believe that their so-called good works, their church membership, and their religious rituals, and on they go, they count absolutely nothing towards the salvation of their soul. And yet God's Word is quite clear on this matter, because in Isaiah 64 and 6 we read, "For ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Romans 3 and 10 says, "There's none that doeth good, no, not one." In the 23rd verse of that same Romans chapter 3, we're told that there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friend, in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, here's what God says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works." Friend, will you please let that statement sink in? Salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And finally, in Titus 3 and 5 we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." Oh, listen, sinner friend, if you'd only believe the word of God, if you'd only listen to what God has to say, rather than trust in your own finite and faulty reasoning. Friend, God says that you're a sinner that needs to be saved. He tells you that there's an eternity of torment awaiting you if you die in your lost and ruined condition. But thank God, his Son, Jesus Christ, could save a truth that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Is there someone listening in today who realizes that they're lost? Is there a listener with whom the Spirit of God is even now striving? If so, please, friend, please, for your soul's eternal welfare, acknowledge your sinful condition before God and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Yes, just let the language of your heart be, "God be merciful to me, the sinner." Listen to those words again. This is Luke 19 and 10. "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Truly, my friend, never man spake like this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friend, the second utterance of Jesus Christ to which I would draw your attention today is found in John's Gospel, chapter 3, in verse 3. There we find the Son of God telling a most religious man named Nicodemus that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Friend, let me repeat that statement because I believe that it's highly important. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking as never man spoke, is telling us in verses 3, 5, and 7 of John chapter 3 that unless a person is born again by the Spirit and the Word of God, he or she absolutely cannot see the kingdom of God. In view of this fact, then let me ask you right now, have you ever been born again? Has there ever been a time when, a place where, and a manner how you were born into the family of God? Friend, listen, if you can't look back to a time in your life when you saw your need for Jesus Christ as your Savior and then placed your trust in His death of the cross, then let me say in love for your soul, you've never been born again. No, you've never experienced the new birth and are therefore still on the broad road that leads to the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. Now, perhaps someone is thinking, well, why is it necessary to be born again? Well, friend, the new birth is necessary because being descendants of a sinful Adam and Eve, we have a nature which acts contrary to the will of God. Adam sinned and therefore became a sinner. But friend, you and I, being born in sin and chastened in iniquity, we sin because we are sinners. In Romans 5 and 12, we read this fact brought out by Paul when he says, wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin came into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, since we are born sinners and practice sin because of an hereditary sinful nature, we can look forward to the result of sin, or death. Romans 6 and 23 makes it quite clear that the wages of sin is death. Now, friend, if physical and spiritual death are the wages of sin, then the words of Jesus Christ become even more important. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, there's one point I want to make quite clear, and that is this. Being born again is not reformation, but rather it is the regeneration brought about by the Spirit and Word of God. When a sinner trusts Christ as his Savior, the Holy Spirit of God enters his being, and he becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. You know, I believe that millions of people today are being deluded into believing that reformation and regeneration are synonymous terms. Friends, that's a lie from the devil himself. Reformation is by the will of man, whereas regeneration, or the new birth, is by the power of God from above. And that's the reason Jesus Christ made the statement that except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, sinner friend, in the light of God's word and in view of Jesus Christ's death at the cross, upon what are you depending to gain your entrance into the kingdom of God? Are you depending upon the fact that you were born of Christian parents? Are you depending upon the fact that you were dedicated and perhaps baptized and confirmed as a child? Are you resting your eternal hopes on a church roll, an altar call, or another religious ritual? Well, if you are, friend, then according to God's word, you haven't been born again. You've never experienced the new birth that Jesus Christ is speaking about. And perhaps you've never even experienced the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, sinner friend, please don't go on in spiritual blindness and in subjection to the devil. Just admit before God today that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner. Then come by faith to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your only hope of entering into the kingdom of God. Now, friends, you'll notice that I said accept Him, not a church or a religious doctrine or philosophy. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, we read, but as many as received Him, who? Jesus Christ. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, in other words, you don't inherit it through the bloodstream, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Friend, I'm not here today to preach religion, and I'm not here to exalt one church above another. I'm here today simply to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Yes, I'm here to preach the Bible, the blood, and the blessed hope. And to this end, I commit this program, and I trust that I'm in the will of God when I say that I'm only preaching Christ crucified, Christ crowned, and Christ coming again. Friend, if you're not saved through faith in Jesus Christ, then you're not saved at all. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Again in John 14 and 6, he declares, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Again, St. Peter declares and confirms this fact over in Acts 4 and verse 12. Here's what he says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now, friend, the third utterance by Jesus Christ to which I would draw your attention today is found in John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 24. There we read these words from the lips of him of whom it is written, Never man spake like this man. This is John 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, He that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath, H-A-T-H, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, friends, you're hearing the word of God today, perhaps for the first time, and then again, perhaps for the last time. You know, friend, the day of God's grace isn't going to last forever. Oh, no. One of these days, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. And when he does, and it may be today, the day of God's grace will have ceased to exist. Your opportunity to get saved or to be born again will have disappeared, and you'll have nothing but the fearful great white throne judgment staring you in the face. Your eternal portion will be amongst the doomed and damned in the place called hell and the ultimate lake of fire. Now tell me, friend, if your heart should stop beating right now, at this very moment, where would your soul be? Heaven or hell? And if the Spirit of God should fail to strive further for your soul, what would be your soul's eternal destiny? And friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ should come from heaven today to gather from the world those who are saved, would you be amongst them? Ah, my friend, listen to the words of Jesus Christ in John 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know, friend, I've had a lot of people tell me that they can't be sure of heaven or hell until they die. But friend, listen, that's not according to the word of God. God's Word, the Bible, tells us very clearly that if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are as sure of heaven as though we were already there. In John 3 and 16, that most memorable of all scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ himself declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in John's first epistle, that's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Here's what we read. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Did you hear that? That ye may know that ye have, present tense, eternal life. Friend, if you've got Jesus Christ as your Savior today, then you've got eternal life. And you can't get any more of it. No, my friend. The very moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you became a child of God. You became the recipient of eternal life. And friend, as I said before, you're as sure of heaven as though you were already walking the street of gold. Now friend, if the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you today, please don't put off your soul's eternal salvation. I believe that many a soul is in hell today who had expected to get saved someday. Ah, but that someday never came. We sometimes say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Friend, God warns you faithfully in Proverbs 29 and 1. He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let me repeat that. This is Proverbs 29 and verse 1. God says, He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know, friend, I can't help but wonder how many people during the past few months that have heard this program of the gospel have since passed out of time into eternity. And if so, I wonder how many of them are down in hell right now. They're crying for a drop of water to cool their parched tongue. Friend, death is a most solemn reality. And that monster called death is stalking each and every one of us. But you know, death isn't the end of it all, no. Beyond death lies eternal torment for those who reject Christ while they were alive. But thank God, those who accept Him as their own and personal Savior shall spend all eternity in heaven singing the praises unto Him who spake as never man spake. Yes, we'll sing unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. Now in closing, my friend, let me remind you that Jesus Christ said that He came to seek and to save those who were lost. Again, He says that unless we've been born again by the Spirit and the Word of God, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And finally, He tells us that the believer in Him hath everlasting life. But friend, the Christ rejecter has nothing but the wrath of God abiding on him. Friend, in 2 Corinthians 6:2, God says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So why not make this day the day of your salvation? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, and friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we ask Thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.